If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. And can somebody help me out? Did we finish letter Resh? Or Resh?
Part C.
C. Toward the bottom or?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so verse 159. He says, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me. And of course, quicken is the idea of either keep me alive, make me alive, or revive me, depending on the context, according to thy loving kindness. And one of the blessed things that we have is that we have a God who loves us. We have a God who cares for us. We have a God who does all these things for us because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Salvation is because God loves us. One of the things that we need to recognize is that the world has, I suppose, in a distorted fashion, a sense that God is supposed to be this way, which is one of the reasons why they sometimes think that if things don't go their way, then God has let them down. That if God loved me, he would do certain things for me. And of course, we know that in the long run, he does. He has provided for us everlasting life. I finished Revelation today, in my own Bible reading, and just reading the concluding chapters of what God has in store for us. And it's just mind boggling. And so God does indeed, love us, and we get this from his word. We see this in our lives, and we have the promise of a glorious expectation. It says in verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. There's a couple of things here. Number one, the Bible is wholly true. One of the things that is, can be alarming, can be discouraging, is that a great many people who would claim to be God's children, who are more than willing to embrace the idea of the virgin birth, the incarnation, the blood atonement, the bodily resurrection, and the expectation of the second coming. They will embrace all those things, and they will accept them in a literal sense. That Jesus is indeed God come in human form. That his sacrifice on Calvary's cross actually did atone for the sins of mankind. That he physically actually rose from the dead, and not only rose from the dead, but was in a glorified body, that he ascended into heaven, and that he will literally physically return again. There are folks that believe those things, but they don't believe the first one that I usually do. That's four. They don't believe in a inspired, inerrant word of God. Now, if you say, do you believe that? Well, what do you mean, if they're going to be honest? What do you mean? Well, we go through the gospel. Yeah, I believe those things. Well, what about if we go back to Genesis and read about the genesis of our problem? How humanity fell into sin. That there is a devil there and he tempted our first fathers and our first father and mother, and they yielded to that temptation and they sinned, and this is where the problem came from. Do you believe in the Genesis account there in Genesis 1, 2, and 3? Well, why not? Well, because, and they go to another source of authority. And they'll go to what science has said. Now, science says a lot of screwy things. Science says a lot of things that are not so. Because actually, those things aren't science. Science is, by the way, they keep changing even the definition of science. The old definition of science was it has to be demonstrable. It's something that if you come up with a hypothesis that can be demonstrated, can be proven, that you run it through the same experiments and you get the same outcome every time, then it becomes a theory. And if you can come up with no exceptions over a period of time, then it may actually be established as a law. All right. They have expanded that science can be conclusions that people draw. That they come up with their hypothesis that's not provable. It never even gets to the point of theory. Evolution, by the way, is not a theory. It's a hypothesis. And, they draw conclusions from their hypothesis and they say that's science. that I have this hypothesis, and I have this hypothesis, and I have this hypothesis, and from these hypotheses that I have come up with, then I draw these conclusions, and that's science. Folks, that's not science. That's human reasoning. And time and time again, these are the things that they don't necessarily tell you, but time and time again, their conclusions are proven later on to be false. Now, what I have here in the Word of God, what I have here, not just in, but what is the Word of God, is truth. Everything it says is true, including matters of science, which includes origins and so on. That's true. What the Bible says is true. What the Bible says regarding history is true. And if you have somebody that comes along and says, well, I don't think that they're right in this particular area because, and they got all these reasons why. It's amazing how many times the world out there has either just sort of swept things under the rug or had to eat crow because of other things they later find out. And you know what? We never have to. Because we start out with the truth in the first place. If God has said it, I'm dealing with an omniscient God. Did he miss something? Not only is he omniscient, he was there. He is eternal. He made it. And we're telling ourselves that he didn't. That it's just sort of random. The brilliance of the World Brain Trusts says that what is came from nothing. Well, we believe that too. But they say it was just spontaneous. Poof, there it is. Poof, there it is. Poof, there it is. Where do you get matter and energy from nothing? But the guy has all these degrees and he's written books that are so complicated that I can read one paragraph and I still get lost. Maybe they're written that way on purpose. Because the guy who wrote it obviously is. He's lost. He has no understanding of what God's word has to say. And eventually, either in the short term or in the long term, they're going to have to acknowledge. Because the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. We are dealing with the Creator God. And so getting back to verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning. God, the Bible says, cannot lie. And what God has said is true. Everything that he has recorded is true. Now, are lies told in the Bible? Yes, but it's acknowledged that they are lies. It says, but he lied. Talking about the record of somebody saying something. What we have here is an accurate record of everything that took place. And everything that God has declared is true. This is the truth. And you never have to worry, I'm telling you, I've been on the other side of this. I've been on the flip side of the coin. I lived a large section of my life on the flip side of the coin. That the other side is always constantly having to come up with something new, something new, something new, something new. And they never tell you that what they had told you was true yesterday or last year or a decade ago or a century ago has been discredited. And they never tell you that, well, you know, that thing that we told you and we're so insisted on, well, it wasn't so. They won't tell you that. They just tell you about the new thing. They won't tell you how awful and how wrong the other thing was. They just keep throwing new stuff out there, new stuff out there, new stuff out there. Recognize the fact that all that new stuff discredits the old stuff. And therefore, well, was this right when you told us that this was the truth? The answer is no. We get hammered. Oh, I was talking to somebody here this morning. We get hammered with lies all around us. We have the fake news phenomenon. Now, who determines what's fake news? You know. One of the concerns, by the way, pray for Yuli and Sasha. Sasha is, I think, in Morocco right now and going to be in Russia ahead of her mother. And then Yulia leaves here in another week and a half or so. Week from Monday? 2 weeks from Monday? Today's the 9th? Okay, 2 weeks from Monday. But pray for these folks. One of their concerns is the controls that the Russians are putting on the internet. That they are trying to keep information from out of the country from coming in, and therefore all that you can find on the internet in Russia is stuff that they produce themselves. Now, why do you suppose they're trying to do that? Now, you tell me. Why is it that a country tries to limit access to information? Yeah. See, if we do this, we have this all the time. We've had this. I'm telling you, I don't care how old you are. This has been going on all of your life in the news media, that you get told certain things. Now, what they tell you may be true, but if you are only told this, and this, and you're not told all this other stuff, then you're going to have a skewed perception of what's going on. And that's what they do. They cherry pick things. If you have had, I shared the story. I've only been overseas one time. Aaron and I went on that Israel trip 23 years ago. Ancient history. And we were watching an English news broadcast. And we were looking at all this stuff. Wow, this is incredible. You know, look at some things that were going on. We get back to the States, and people are asking about the strip, and say, oh, by the way, we're watching the news. And why? And people here were clueless. They didn't know anything about it. Because we just weren't told. Now, if you go scrounging around today with the web, you can probably find some of that, those bits of information, but they're, you know, way back over here in a corner somewhere. I can depend on the Word of God. I can't depend on people. I can't depend on our government. I can't depend on the news media. I can't depend on anything, really, as far as being objective and absolute and a certainty that it is indeed true, other than the Word of God. And we spend hours scanning our computers trying to find out what's going on. Maybe you spent, it's supposed to be 91 degrees on Wednesday. How many of you knew that? And how many of you looked at several different places on the web to see if different people were saying the same thing to confirm that that was the case? All right, a number of you. All right, so we deal with this. We're looking for information. If I want objective truth, if I want something that is immutable, that does not change, it says there in verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning. Which also lets you know that God didn't have to tweak and fiddle with this, that it was right when he gave it to us. Again, we're dealing with an omniscient God, and he doesn't have to figure things out. There is no plan B with God. So, again, additional motivation to know what this book has to say. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Morality, morality doesn't change. If the Bible says that something is a sin, if God declares that this particular behavior is wicked, I don't care what the culture says. It's still wicked. Now, how we respond to it, and you know, the Old Testament, we don't stone people. The church does not, church discipline does not involve rocks. Okay? There is no violence as far as church discipline is concerned. There is no violence as far as what God's people are supposed to do in their response to the people around them. We are to declare the gospel so people can have forgiveness. And if they trust Christ as Savior, they will get a new nature. They will repent and their lives will change. And by their fruit ye shall know them, the scripture says. People change. If people insist on keeping their sin after a profession of faith, then they didn't understand salvation in the first place. God transforms people. And morality, right and wrong, doesn't change with the passing of the years or the change of culture or anything else. We are not living in an enlightened era today. Instead, we are living in a very dark era today. All right. Any questions on that? Little hobby horse riding there. All right. Our next letter is Shin. And we're speaking about our landlord here. That's our last name. In Hebrew, the letter Shin looks more like our W, although it's not a W. In Hebrew, it can be pronounced one of two ways, depending on where you put a dot. It can either be a s as in sin, or it can be a sh as in shin. All right? So where you put the dot is going to determine which way it is pronounced. And of course, we don't have a separate letter of sin or shin here in our in the normal Hebrew alphabet. So again, it's just where you put the dot as far as pronunciation is concerned. It says in verse 161, princes, people in the positions of authority. It's not necessarily hereditary, often is, but not necessarily hereditary. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. Why do sometimes people in positions of authority persecute others? It's an old explanation.
Power?
All right, I want to keep my power and I want to demonstrate my power by lording it over other people, making them do what I want them to do. All right? Why else? Sometimes jealousy. If you are also somebody in a position of authority and they don't, you know, you get this back and forth. This is why we have political opposition today. Always have. If you can get away with it. All right. Why else?
Pride.
Okay. Same idea here. One is to preserve that position of power. One is, if I lord it over other people, I can continue to increase my power. I can increase my wealth. I can demonstrate my power. It's the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Nothing's changed. We're dealing with basic principles. People are people. And princes have persecuted me without a cause. I haven't done anything wrong to warrant what they're doing. They are doing it for their own benefit. They are doing it to flex their muscles, to demonstrate their position, to gain what I have for their own, and to preserve and grow their own power. So it's without a cause. But the psalmist says, "But my heart standeth in awe of thy word." We're going to be seeing this tonight as we go into the church in Smyrna there in Revelation chapter 2. Our response should not be in kind. We need to be very careful that when somebody wants to take what is ours. Now, granted, we don't see this too much in our own time and culture here. A lot of places where this is going on around the world today. A lot of places. Where those who are oppressors want to take what is ours. That they want to keep us under their thumb, under their heel. They want to flex their muscles and limit us. Should that infuriate me? Well, no, it shouldn't. But they took my stuff! If I go through the steps of the law in whatever country I may be living in and I don't receive justice, I need to recognize the fact that, you know, I have treasure laid up in heaven. And I may not receive justice in the here and now, but God is just and it will eventually come about. The psalmist, instead of being distracted, recognizes that God is his hope. My word standeth in awe, or my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I'm going to focus on what is right and what is true. All right, this is right and this is true. My circumstances, my temporary circumstances, my temporal circumstances, my right now is hard. My right now is filled with pain. My right now is filled with injustice. My right now is dealing with oppression by the enemy. But in the end, I'm a child of God. In the end, I have an inheritance reserved in heaven for me. In the end, God's word will be vindicated. In the end, I will be vindicated. And so, in spite of what's happening to me right now, I'm not going to be distracted. I instead am going to revel in what God has said. I was reading an article this past week, not a Christian article. And the guy was talking about the various things that are talked about all the time in science, quote unquote, in the news media, in politics, all these different things. Did you know, if you haven't figured this out yet, that the sky is falling? That the world is filled with Chicken Littles? And in some way, shape, or form, the sky is falling. We will all roast to death with global warming. We will all drown. We will all drown from the rising seas. We will all die from radioactive fallout. We will all die because Donald Trump is trying to kill us all. We will all, okay, you go on down the list. There's a whole bunch of these things. Some of them older, some of them newer. Some of you remember back in the 70s when they said we were all going to die from global cooling. That's another one they don't like to talk about anymore because it's the same people that came up with both of them. Huh, didn't work. Let's try the other one. This knob didn't work. Let's try this one. Heat doesn't work. Let's try the air conditioning. We are beset by these things. We are overwhelmed by these things. And this guy was talking about the fact that we are, you know, the guy with the sandwich board is the earth ends tomorrow. repent, the world ends tomorrow. We have a record of what God is going to be doing. We have a record of where we as his children stand in that program. And I don't have to worry about what these folks out here are telling me. I don't have to worry about Chicken Little. Just because he got hit in the head by an acorn doesn't mean that the sky is falling. I can't get distracted. I'm not going to be led astray. God knows what he's doing, and I'm going to be focused on what God has said. And in spite of all the doom and gloom that's out there, I know how it ends. That's an exciting thing. I know how it's going to end. How do I know that? Go back to 160. Thy word is true from the beginning. And God tells us not only how it began, but also how it's going to end. I have promises. I'm a child of God, and I will be there to experience all the glory of what lies ahead. So do I have to fret and worry about what's going on right now? Recognizing the fact that I have the truth and the world doesn't. That they are always constantly having to change what they are saying because it wasn't so. I'll not be distracted. I will not be led astray. I will cleave to God's word. And it doesn't matter if they're persecuting me. It doesn't matter what lies they tell me, what they do to me or try to get me to think different ways. I am going to cleave to God. Why is it? Why is it that the Bible is illegal in so many places? Why is it that through the centuries they have burned millions of Bibles? Why is it that there are certain countries where it's illegal to possess this or distribute it? They don't want people to have truth. They're minions of the devil and they don't even know it. Be grateful that we have access to the Word of God. Be thankful that we have good translations in our language. And be grateful that we still have the freedom to possess and read and study the Word of God. So he says in 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I have a friend that when I was in high school, he got a metal detector. And he got the fancy metal detector that's called a discriminator that can tell the difference between a bottle cap and a quarter. All right, so you don't have to dig up all the bottle caps, all right, or the pull tabs that we used to have in the old days. You'd be surprised how many millions of those are buried in people's yards. But if it was copper, if it was silver, or it was gold, it gave a different tone. He had his earphones on there, and he's going around different places. And he found over a period of a year or so, a couple $1,000s worth of jewelry and coins and stuff going to all these different places. This is Ted. And he read some stories. He read some articles. Some guy had one of these. He was on the East Coast, where it's been settled for quite a long, lot longer than we are here. And he went through, this place where they had torn down an old building. And he went through there and he got this huge signal. And he's like, man. So he marked the spot with a rock and then he just went on. And then he went back in the middle of the night and dug it up. You know those great big crocks? I think there were three of those filled with gold and silver coins. Woo! All right, great. Wow, fantastic. I will rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I ought to be as excited about the word of God as if I was digging up a crock full of gold and silver coins. Because the coins will go away. I can't take them with me. I have the promises of God that are eternal. I have a God who loves me and cares for me and sustains me in the here and now, whether it's by giving me a crock full of coins or making sure that my bills are paid and I've got transportation and a roof over my head. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And therefore, as the opposite of this, look in from what we've just been saying, verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. It ought to grieve us, all this stuff that's out there. Don't blow your top. Don't lose your temper. Don't get embittered. It's just the way it is. And recognize the fact that by the grace of God, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be believing all this stuff too. But it ought to grieve you that the truth is being overwhelmed in some ways. That the truth is being buried. That the truth is being covered over. That the truth is being ignored and maligned and ridiculed. And I hate and abhor lying. We are surrounded by lies. Everything we hear, so much of it is filled with lies. And people declare these things as if they were, pardon the pun, gospel truth. So I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. So what do we see in these last several verses, 160 through 163? Thy word is true, and every one of God's righteous judgments endures forever. Princes have persecuted me without cause. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. I'm going to cleave to God's word regardless of the circumstances. I'm not going to get distracted. I rejoice at the word of God as one that findeth great spoil. It is a treasure to me. It is the most valuable thing I have access to. And I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. May we immerse ourselves in the word of God. We need to love this book. We need to get into this book. If it is so valuable, why do we ignore this? If this is so valuable, why do we neglect the reading and the studying of the Bible? I dare say that probably all or most of you read it on a daily basis. But do you just drag your eyes across the page to satisfy so you can check out, I did it for today? We need to immerse ourselves in this. This is what God has given us, and it's true. And it's filled with promises that apply to us personally. It ought to be a joy and a fascination and a thrill to read and study this book. May we do so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have sought. You've given us your word. You've seen fit to tell us things that you don't have to tell us. You have made promises that you didn't have to make, but you chose to do so. You have demonstrated your grace and your love. You have given us salvation. And Father, with that is not just forgiveness, but Father, you have given us incredible things that we'll be receiving down the road. Thank you for these things. And Father, we know of these because we find them recorded in your word. Father, may we be thrilled by what we read and study, and may we do so. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.